What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am JP Finley. I'm here with Rich Tandler. And we are going to talk about the relatively depressed state of the Washington Redskins. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing good. Thanks.
All right. You and I did not get to talk much Monday night. We were going in different directions. And what did you think leaving that game, leaving the stadium Monday night?
Just how could they blow... Well, two things. First of all, how could they blow an opportunity like that? I mean, less than 24 hours after they were handed their, control over their own playoff fate, they drop it to a 5-8 team. But then the other thing I thought of, they are just a bad matchup against a team like the Panthers. Physical teams seem to give them a problem, and that's the kind of team I have to think that Scott McLuhan was just looking at that, saying if I could put that together, I'd be very, very happy, because they are a strong physical team that doesn't cue some things like Jonathan Stewart rushing for 138 yards or whatever he had,
right?
And some things like that. But I think defensively up front, even without Luke Kuechly, I think they're very hard for the Redskins to deal with. That was proven last year in Charlotte. It's a lot of the same people. And, they just don't match up well against them.
Yeah, I also, going a little bit more big picture, you and I disagreed last week about if the Skins beat the Eagles, or if the Eagles kind of gave that game away, whatever it was. But if you look at this team since that Dallas game, and I'd argue that they looked good in the Dallas game, even though they lost. They haven't been good for 3 weeks. And, I know Kirk ended the night with more than 300 passing yards, and I'm sure defensively they held the Panthers pretty well on third downs, but this team just has not been playing well for 3 weeks, and this slump, whatever you want to call it, is coming at probably the worst point of the season, and I think it's a little bit kind of missing the point if it's all about, will they make the playoffs, will they not make the playoffs? If the team that played against Arizona, Philly, and against Carolina makes the playoffs, they're going to get blown out by whoever they play in the first round game.
Well, yeah, yes and no, because obviously if they don't play better the next two games, they won't be there. So
right.
Presume if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to be a team that's on a two-game winning streak, having gone to Chicago on a short week and won there, even though I think that could be potentially, I haven't thought about that game a whole lot yet. But I think that could potentially be just a kind of a sloppy, ugly kind of game. And then, beating the Giants at home, who knows if the Giants will have anything to play for. The odds say, we'll know that actually after they play the Eagles on Thursday night. If they win that, I believe they clinch the number five seed.
Right.
So who knows? So, I think But if they will have won those two games going to the playoffs, they will presumably have some degree of momentum. And if they don't win them, obviously they won't be in the playoffs.
Right, but I guess, and why I referenced the Eagles game is that, now, you're right, if they have to win two in a row, there's got to be some momentum involved with that. But the effort it required to beat the Eagles was such that it was an unimpressive win, I think.
Hey, did you see any of the Eagles in Baltimore on Sunday?
That they
against the number one defense in the league?
Right, that they gave them a tough game?
Yeah.
But regardless, did you think the Skins looked good in Philly?
No.
Right.
I think some aspects of the game did. And, you know, I continue to be, don't get me wrong here, you or anybody else. I don't think that it's a great defense. But I think they came up with stops during the game when they really need. I mean, the last two games, in reality, they've given up one offensive touchdown per game. You know, against the Eagles had the pick six for their second touchdown. The Panthers only scored two touchdowns. Their second one was after they were given the ball at the 1 yard line.
Right, right,
so,
right.
You know, I think the defense, it's ugly numerically, and yes, it is frustrating that they keep on doing the third downs. So I don't think that the defense has been maybe as bad as people said. Offensively, I would agree. They just haven't really been, except for a few plays. You know, Kirk had maybe half a dozen real nice passes, including the long one to Deshaun, the one to Crowder on the last drive, a few like that. But, you know, the running game has been kind of blah, especially it was awful against the Panthers.
Right.
And,
I mean, that's...
So, I... Go ahead.
That's more my argument, is I don't... It's become very in vogue to knock Joe Barry. I mean, the amount of people on Twitter screaming at me to fire Joe Barry, I can't even count anymore. But I don't think the struggles have really been the defense. Maybe in Arizona, but... The offense against Carolina couldn't get out of its own way. To have that sack fumble on the first drive of the second half, the interception earlier, there were some big drops. I mean, the offense couldn't get really anything going. I mean, they had so many chances to get back into that game and just never took advantage.
Yeah, 6-3 and outs, I believe it was. I mean, I think they'd gone for a month without having 6-3 and outs, and then they have 6-3 and outs in that game.
Tressway punted the same amount of times Monday night as he had in the last three games combined. Six punts.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, frankly, I think Skins fans should be a little worried about this Bears game because you want to say, oh, they had a bad loss, they'll go on the road and respond, but they had the bad loss in Arizona. Now, they went on the road to Philly and they won the game, so ultimately that's what matters. But that wasn't the kind of overwhelming victory that you can point to and say, oh, that's a team that gets it and really turned it on. I don't think.
Right. Well, I think the main concern now is just getting in.
Right.
I mean,
I agree.
They certainly wouldn't be happy with a first round loss if it happens, but you know, you're talking about the fans and people on Twitter. You know, they're you know, you can say they whether they deserve it or not. Hey, this is not the college football playoffs. You know, you don't have to impress some committee. If you have a good enough record to be there, you deserve to be there. If you don't, you don't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just think, a few things. I think they're going to have to look internally at the defense. I think, I'm not suggesting anybody needs to be replaced or anything like that, but they need to do a thorough assessment of what they're doing defensively and what they can be doing better. And I do think if they miss the playoffs, that is going to be a really stringent review. I think offensively, things are mostly there and in place. Some folks on social media are saying you got to fire everybody. I in no way think you should really fire anybody. I think maybe you want to review the defensive side of the ball. That's one thing. But I think if anything, this team is still building. And I almost think they could be better this year than they were last year and still not make the playoffs. And I said that in August, and I stand by it, you know, a couple of days before Christmas. I think no matter what, this team's going to win eight games. Even if they don't win out and make the playoffs, I think they get to 8-7-1, which is what I predicted. They'd go 8-8. I think they're making big strides, and another offseason, they could be a significantly better team next year. But kind of nobody wants to hear that with two games left. All anybody wants to talk about is what will happen right now, what will happen this year.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. Are they there on offense? As we just said,
there's flashes.
You know, you get down to the crunch time of the season. The offense wasn't look at this three, losing three out of four. The offense wasn't really a problem in Dallas, although, you know, it would have been good to put some dry, you know, some better timing and better red zone production, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, these last few weeks, they've really struggled when they really, at a time when they really needed to pick it up, when they knew that, you know, from day one this season, we knew the defense wasn't going to carry them much of anywhere. Now, they did have that stretch of four straight games allowing 20 points or fewer, which is great. That helped them win that, you know, win some of those games in that four-game winning streak. But, you know, the offense is, they got to, you know, they have to push near 30 every game for this team to have a chance. And they're not.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the offense is certainly underperforming in the last month, I would say. But I don't think that requires necessarily wholesale changes either in the offseason.
But what do? You draw new X's and O's or something? I mean, if that was the solution, they could do that, you know, on a Tuesday night while they're game planning, and then
I don't think it's that simple.
I don't know. I can't name a person that's missing. I think the offensive line could still stand some shoring up. I think left guard. I think Mabow. You know, they should find somebody, whether it's a younger free agent, whether it's a draft pick, you know, a second or third rounder, to replace him. That could help. You know, I think you are hurt when Jordan Reed and even,
I mean,
healthy,
that's the
Jordan
real
Reed
thing though. If you look
not,
at,
it's not a very good blocker. I'm just talking about blocking. And then, you know, let's look at this slump in the last few weeks has coincided with Jordan Reed either being out or
exactly
injured,
right?
Or playing hurt.
And even playing right now, he's not accomplishing much.
Right.
I think that's a huge part of it, and some of that was when Trent Williams was out also. So I think the Jordan Reed injury situation has been a major part of the undoing of this offense. You want to address left guard, that's fine. I'm not arguing with you there. But I just think you talked about how in the last 2 weeks they've given up points, I guess, from their offense, basically. Kirk threw the pick six in Philly, and then there's the sack fumble on the 1 yard line against the Panthers. I mean, what if the Skins had a defense that could generate points, that could generate turnovers in the red zone like that? I mean, you're the numbers guy. Has that happened all year? Can you point to two or three instances of that? Because if it has, it's been months since it's happened.
There are no, you know, actual defensive returns for touchdowns. And if they got a takeaway in the red zone once, Norman's interception against the Browns wasn't in the red zone, but it was close to it, I think.
The Browns, I was thinking maybe the fumble or that pick, but I think they were both around like the 35 or something.
Yeah. The point is, yes, the bigger point is there haven't been many.
I'm just saying, like, if you think about, not to compare them to the Cowboys, right? But the Cowboys this season have scored 366 points. The Redskins, despite all their incredible red zone woes, where they're settling for field goals, where they should be getting touchdowns, they've scored 345 points. The Cowboys defensively have only given up 258, whereas the Skins have given up 343. So it's remarkable in a way that if you just think about, say the defense gives up or just creates one more opportunity per game, and then...
Well, that's a lot.
An
opportunity every other game.
Sure. We'd
be doing great.
Okay, and well, what else I was going to say, you think two made field goals this season, if you could go back and make two of them, it's an entirely different situation we're looking at.
Yeah.
Just the Bengals game. I mean, that tie. You know,
the Lions game. That could have been a totally different outcome if that won, just a week earlier. So
right.
Yeah.
And I don't like to look at the Cowboys game because that was hitting long ones with some weird conditions, and that was two kicks. But the Bengals game, the Lions game, I mean, those were relative chip shots in relatively good condition. Or Detroit was indoors.
Perfect conditions. Yes.
Right. Alas, we're chasing the past, which doesn't do you much good. I wanted to ask you this. I think it's pretty clear Kirk played a bad game Monday night. But I also think it's pretty clear that Kirk is the best option for this team going forward, next year and beyond, at quarterback. It's got...
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
Wow, I need like an alarm button. Are you questioning?
I'd like to see him win a game like that. I mean, yes, he won a big game in Philadelphia. I'd like to see him win a game. I would have liked to see him beat the Steelers in the first game. And I know it's not just him, but I get on people all the time for that. But I'd like to see him have a good game and a team win over a team like the Steelers, over last year's Panthers, over last year's Patriots, something like that. That it just seems, and this wasn't against a good opponent, but it was a big game with a lot on the line, and he came up short. Now, the main thing that keeps that always draws me back to Kirk, even looking at the flaws, is alternatives.
Right.
Okay, if not Kirk, then who? And the answer is, a pig in a poke, Colt McCoy, Nate Sudfeld, who's going to be out? Tony Romo, Brian Hoyer, anybody who's going to be out on the streets like that. And, those are not acceptable answers in my book. So I think you got to stick with Cousins. But, and I'm not saying he has to win that game, which at this point, I guess that would be a playoff game. Against a quality team,
right.
It would be on the road. So, that would do it. But I'm not saying don't sign him to a long-term deal until you see him do something like that, because, again, the opportunity is gone. But, I'd like to see that before they commit long-term.
Wow. So you're getting a little bit of cold feet here, RT.
Like I said, a little bit, and I don't think it'll factor in. I don't think the team should necessarily factor that in. Again, they have to look at they've actually had very few opportunities. I think last year the only games they played against winning teams were New England, Carolina, and one other team. Can't remember who it was, but this year they haven't played many powerhouse teams. They played some good teams. They haven't played many powerhouses. So
that's what I was going to ask you.
The opportunities are limited. I think you need a better defense to get it done. But, I would say go ahead and do it because, there's no guarantee that quarterback X could get it done either.
So that's what I was going to ask you. I'm looking at this. The only other team I could think you're thinking of from last year is the Bills, who I think were maybe 9-7 on the year or something.
No, I think they finished 8-8.
Okay, I mean, they played the Falcons, who were really hot then, but proceeded to they lost to the Jets. The Jets went 10-6 last year.
That's the other one. That's the other winning team.
But so
they played three teams that finished with a winning record. There were some that had a winning record at the time, like the Falcons. So those three games were the only ones against teams that finished with a winning record.
I'm looking at this now. You've got me intrigued. So you can point to last year's Eagles game. It was on the road. It was for the division. And it was an impressive win, don't get me wrong. But that Eagles team finished 7-9. I don't know how historically we'll look back and say that was an impressive win. This year, looking at the wins they've got, excuse me, really only two stand out. Well, the Giants, and Kirk played well in that game. And then I'd say the Packers game, Kirk played well. I mean, that was probably his best game yet, don't you think?
Right.
And then they beat the Ravens this year. So, I mean, if you're looking for a measuring stick of improvement, whether or not they make the playoffs this year, I think they're going to win about the same amount of games. Either they're going to win 8 or they're going to win 9. I think they win at least one of these last two. I'm not sure they win them both.
Right.
So if they're winning about the same amount of games, and this year they beat a few better teams, including two of those wins were on the road, beating New York in New York and beating the Ravens in Baltimore, I would say they're progressing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that they're getting better. The defensive line and safety, despite what I said about getting a left guard on offense, I think defensive line and safety are where they really, 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 I'll say two more, really, really need help.
Yeah, I agree. And D-line, they need both top of the line help. They need new starters, but they also need depth there. I mean, you want them to be able to go five deep with good players. You know what I mean? And they're just nowhere close to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such an indictment. You know, Ziggy Hood, great guy, big character guy, hard worker. He should not have the second most snaps on the defensive line. Cullen Jenkins, good guy, great character guy, hard worker, great veteran. Should not have the fourth most defensive snaps on your
totally.
Line. I mean, it's snaps on your defensive line. It's just, it's crazy.
It
you
is.
Know, how Joe Barry should be, maybe he could be defensive coordinator of the year if he had some decent players up there. And the fact they've gotten anything done at all with these guys is a borderline miracle, I think.
Well, and so, that's the big question with Barry is, can we even judge him based on what's happening out there, you know?
I say no. Hey, look, you know, I think if they don't make the playoffs, I think Barry could be a scapegoat and they could let go of him. That's just strictly my speculation, not
right.
anything that I've heard from anybody. But, you could bring in who was the Bill Pittsburgh defensive coordinator. You could bring in Wade Phillips. You could bring in, name the defensive coordinator, and they could not get results with this group. Maybe they could elevate them some, but they could not get, you know, they would not be a top 10 defense with this group. So I don't know. I don't think you can fairly judge Barry. I mean, it happens all the time. They might do it anyway, but, I think it would be probably, it would be, if they don't make the playoffs, firing Joe Barry would be unexpected to me, but also somewhat unjust.
So when I'm going to make the headline for this podcast, am I right in saying Rich Tandler defends Joe Barry and questions Kirk Cousins?
I think you might be overplaying the questions Kirk Cousins, because you know it's just more of a, you know, I would like to see than a, you know, I would like to see have seen
and how
Josh
about
Norman get a few more picks this year that he's had his hands on.
Yeah.
You know, two in Cincinnati. Speaking of missed kick, that game never would have come down to a missed kick if Norman gets that pick six that was in his hands against the Bengals. So
in London, yeah.
You know, what I like to say, but that doesn't mean I'm questioning Josh Norman or I think Josh Norman's no good or was a bad contract or anything like that. And so, yeah, you know, I'd like to see more out of Kirk Cousins in a big game. So if that's questioning him, I don't think it quite is. You see what I'm saying?
Rich Tandler defends Joe Barry and wants more out of Kirk Cousins.
That's fine.
All right. So here was one point I wanted to make, and I don't know, we get on so many tangents here, was So one thing I find annoying is that there's a certain subset of like staunch cousin supporters that if you criticize Kirk at all, you're dismissed as like a hater or something. So where I was going before, I remember where we were. I was about to say this, and then you got into your questions for Kirk. But I think Kirk played bad Monday night, but I don't think that means he's not the best option moving forward. And I think folks that can't differentiate between that are missing the big picture. And I think those people that want to just like point to dropped passes and such, you're missing that Kirk didn't play well. And it's, I mean, that happens. Guys have bad games. But it's gotten to be this crazy, any possible discussion of when he's not playing well is an assault on Kirk Cousins, the quarterback, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you know, I got just along those lines. I got, well, drop passes and offensive line didn't play well. Well, the offensive line didn't play well. I mean, there was one sack, and that was really it was either on Vernon Davis or just a bad protection scheme. I can't quite figure it out.
I think it was
but
both.
Kirk had plenty of time to throw. He got just sacked that one time. Of course, it was disastrous when he fumbled. But, you know, yeah, look, guys have bad games. It happens. And then the other thing is that, you know, of course, then you have the faction who doesn't like Kirk, who presumably are pounding their keyboard wearing number 10 jerseys.
I think that faction has disappeared at this point. I mean, if you are still an RG3 over Kirk Cousins supporter at this point, tweet me and Tandler. I want to know that you exist because I find it hard to believe.
Right, but the point is, whoever, he still has his critics, whether they're RG3 fans or not, you know, are taking one bad game as a reason, you know, not to sign the guy, get rid of the guy. I think we had a caller into the Junkies on CSN this morning, you know, saying, hey, it's time for Colt McCoy. You know, there are fans out there like that. They're prisoners of the moment. They can't escape the last game.
Right. Right. And I don't know, man. People are crazy out there. You were on the conference call with me. Two things I asked Jay about. You were on the conference call as well, not with me. The two things I asked Jay about I thought were pretty interesting. One, do you think they should be resting Jordan Reed at this point?
In fact, I wrote this morning. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much good he's doing out there. Maybe they should take him out for the Bears game and, have him ready for the Giants. It's just apparent that he can't really function and he can't get, I don't know how he can get better. Again, now I'm, you know, not a doctor, neither are you. If they're telling me that you know, he can go out there on game day and his shoulder will be better going into the Bears game than it was going into the Panthers game, which I don't know how that's possible, but maybe it is.
Right.
You know, then it's okay. And if he can play against the Bears and you know, it won't make that much difference going into the Giants game, if he can still, you know, have that healing during the week, then that's one thing. But that doesn't really make logical sense to me that could be the case.
See, I don't know that it's going to get better, and I don't know that it's going to get worse either. But I think the one thing, I was talking with Al Galdi of 980, and I think it's kind of like, you know, if they needed that roster spot, if there was some young DN that was going to give them 20 good snaps that they could use that roster spot on, then rest him. But I don't know that, you know, you look at the guys that are inactive, I don't know that any one of them is a game changer on game day. So I get why.
Well, besides Matt Jones, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, geez. it's all I want.
Don't want to get into it. Just throwing that in there.
All I want for Christmas is to you to give up on Matt Jones.
I just want to see him catch a couple passes out of the backfield. That's all.
I don't think you're going to see it, dude.
I'm probably not.
All right, here's my other question. The Trent Murphy hit on Cam Newton. I was sitting next to you. I said, I think you and I were in agreement. I thought that was going, that call was going on Murphy.
Yes.
And
because it usually does. When you come anywhere near
right.
the neck or head of a quarterback, you know, if you breathe too hard on it, it draws a flag.
Well, and from our angle, we couldn't see Cam throw the ball at him until they showed it on the replay, you know?
Right.
So when I saw the flag go up, I was like, oh, there it is, 15 yards, getting closer to the goal line. I thought Gruden's comments were pretty fair on that. He's like, I didn't know who it was going to be on. I thought it could have gone either way. I just think refereeing in the NFL is such a mess right now.
Yeah, you know what? The strange thing is, it sounds to me like they actually enforced the rule as it is written. You know, it was not. You know, it's supposed to, the rule forcible contact with the head, or the phrase, is forcible being the key word, is in the rule. And that was not forcible. It was a glancing blow. And, you know, there's also something, you know, he did, and there's something in the rule about, you know, if the runner slides late, those aren't the exact technical terms, but they're in there, and which Cam did.
Right.
That's supposed to be taken into account, especially the forcible part. But, you know, it seems like, although they actually enforce the rule the way it's written, that's not the way it's usually done. And, you know, it's weird. You know, Drew Brees, you know, just to take the example, it was on Sunday against the Cardinals. I was watching on Red Zone. You know, he was all in a pile, getting twisted around. You know, he just kind of knocked heads with one of the defensive linemen, and flag. And it was a big play, because I think it was a third down play, and it got the Cardinals, the Saints, a first down, and they went in for a touchdown. So, you know, it's just the inconsistency. If everybody would actually enforce the rule that way, that would be fine. So, but I think, you know, I think Cam, you know, the people who say Cam doesn't get the flags had a point on that one, because it's inconsistent, even though it did appear to be within the rules.
It is certainly inconsistent. All right, we have gone over 30 minutes. My goal was to make it 20 minutes, so I am now going to tell our listeners that I am sick as a dog from standing outside Monday night for a few hours. And I appreciate Tandler powering through the podcast with me, because I was whining like crazy on our Slack thread before we before we sat down to do this. What are you asking for Christmas, Rich?
Oh, I don't need anything. I've got everything I need.
You've got every Apple gadget there is until the next gadget comes out.
Until they come out with something new, I'm good.
You don't want that, the new computer with the touch bar? That's not on your, that's not,
no, on, you know, your note, I, to, I kinda, Santa? I would, but I just, another laptop I just don't need. I'm waiting for a new desktop.
Oh boy, I can only imagine. I honestly just want this cold to go away. I would take zero presents if it meant this wretched head cold I'm dealing with would go away.
It's not going to get any better in Chicago.
I know, man.
Although we should get fairly for this time of year there, fairly temperate temperatures.
Well, and compared to what they had last weekend, it doesn't look nearly that bad. Okay, man. Good to talk to you. Tell everybody how to find you.
Oh, you can find me at, of course, realredskins.com. Now it takes you to the new Real Redskins page on csnmidatlantic.com.
Which looks good, man. It looks like you guys got it all sorted out.
Rich Tandler, CSN on Twitter.
I interrupted you. The new Real Redskins page, it looks good. It looks like it's all kind of sorted out, whatever kinks there were the first few days. And
Yeah, I like it. It's a smoother operation. And you know, I think it's a little bit more reader friendly.
What is up with your new tweet style with your need to knows? I've noticed there's been a stylistic shift, it appears.
Well, just my early morning one. I try, you know, the people that are up early with me at 5 and 5:30 in the morning, I try to give them a little laugh there on on the need to know tweets. So check it out. If you're not up that early, just look at my Twitter feed. You can see. And I don't always achieve funny, but it's the goal anyway.
It's a good effort regardless.
Yes.
All right. I am JP Finley. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/JP Finley CSN, and on Twitter at JP Finley CSN. Here's what we need you guys to do. Please, as a Christmas present to Tandler and I, we need you to subscribe to this podcast, review the podcast, and give us a rating if you can. And if possible, make sure they're
a good rating.
Yeah, exactly. A good rating.
If you're gonna leave a bad rating, just keep it between you and whoever.
Yeah, you and your smartphone.
Right.
Thank you very much, Rich. I will see you soon. To all of our listeners, thank you for listening, and have a very Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you till after the Bears game. We're not really sure what our schedule will be because both the practice and the travel schedules are getting a little funky with the holidays. Say goodbye, Tandler.
All right. Bye, Tandler. I mean, folks.
All right. Thank you, folks.